Hello and welcome to the Taras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we will be studying Tehillim Perek 76, Ayin Vav. We continue with the theme of the previous prakim, which spoke of Hashem's meeting out justice. This perek has a number of ways in which it can be interpreted. Radak maintains that this, like the previous perek, alludes to the process that leads up to the end of days, specifically Milchemes Gog Umagog and the arrival of Mashiach. Malbim, as well as Mitzudas David, on the other hand, contend that this perek is specifically referring to the miraculous downfall of Sancheirev when he attempted to attack Yerushalayim during the time of Chizkiyahu. We will approach this perek from the vantage point of Radak for the most part, as referring to the final redemption. But again, just as we have been stressing in our previous prakim, we can superimpose any time period into the meaning of the words, which really just testifies to the beauty and indeed elevated and divine nature of Tehillim. We say each perek and we delve and understand the intent so that we can extract meaning in our own lives, and therefore we can make it into a collective or personal experience. Pasuk Aleph, Lamanatzeach Biniginos, Mizmor La'Asaf Shir, to the conductor with instrumental music, a song composed by Asaf. Noda B'Yehuda Elokim, B'Yisrael Gadol Shemo. After the Milchemes Gog Umagog, when our enemies will be cut down, Hashem's name will be known in Yehuda. Yehuda being a reference for the Nachala, for the portion of Yehuda, in which is the city of Jerusalem. That is where the war will end. It will end in Jerusalem. And from there, Hashem's name and greatness will be spread amongst all of Israel. B'Yisrael Gadol Shemo. His name will be great. Pasuk Gimel Vayhi B'Shalem Sukko Uma'onaso B'Tzion. His sukkah, Hashem's sukkah, the ultimate sukkah, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, will be in Shalem, a reference to Yerushalayim, Uma'onaso B'Tzion, and his dwelling will be in Sion. Here we have two alternate names for Yerushalayim. The first is Shalem, and the second is Tzion. The first reference that we actually see, the association between Shalem and Yerushalayim, is in Sefer Bereishis. It's interesting, as an aside, it's interesting to note that the name Yerushalayim actually never appears explicitly in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There are only a couple of references, and one of those references is in Bereishis, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yudches, when Malki Tzedek greets Avraham. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Hotzi lechem v'yayin v'hu chohen l'kel elyon. Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, brings out bread and wine, and he was a minister, a priest, a kohen for Hashem, for God. Actually, Rashi brings down the Medrash that this Malki Tzedek was actually Shem, the son of Noach. Now, on this pasuk, Ramban points out that the city of Shalem, over which Malki Tzedek presided, is none other than Yerushalayim. And the Ramban uses our pasuk in Tehillim, this pasuk Gimel in Tehillim, as textual support for this because of the same name, Vayhi B'Shalem Sukko. Yerushalayim, of course, also has the word Yeru. The root word is to see, which is referenced after the Akedah in Parshas Vayera. Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Hahu Hashem Yireh. And Avraham named the place Hashem will see. Asher ye'emer hayom bahar Hashem yera'eh, as it is said to this day, on the mountain Hashem will be seen. There's a beautiful medrash from Bereishis Rabbah that depicts the melding of these two words, Yud Resh Aleph and Shalem, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Hashem combined the references and the associations from both Malki Tzedek, namely Shalem, and from Avraham, Yud Resh Aleph. Since Hashem wanted to acknowledge the contribution of both of them to the essence of the place, and says the Medrash, he did not want to slight either of them, and therefore combined both names, Yeru and Shalem, making it Yerushalayim. Each name represents facets of the essence of Yerushalayim. Yud Resh Aleph implies Hashem's presence is seen or perceived more intensely, and Shalem represents peace, completeness. The Medrash continues to tell us, Asalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sukha V'Hayam Mispalel B'Socha. Hashem figuratively made himself a sukkah, a hut, and he would pray within it. Sheneemar Vayehi Bishalem Suko Umunaso Bitzion. As it says in our Pasuk, Hashem was in his sukkah, this sukkah that he built, and this sukkah in which he prayed, Kaviyachol. Umahaya Omer, what would God say in the sukkah? Yehi Ratzon She'er'eh Bivinyan Besi. It should be that I should see the building of my house. So Hashem figuratively sits in his sukkah. Vayehi b'shalem sukko. Hashem sits in his sukkah and he waits and he hopes for the time to come when his people will merit the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, so that it will be a city of shlemus, of completeness, as it says in our perek. The idea being that Hashem wants Yerushalayim to be rebuilt as well. Uma onoso b'tzion. Really just an unbelievably beautiful idea relating to Yerushalayim. Not only do we pray for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu figuratively does so as well. The city itself is waiting. We are waiting. And Hashem is waiting so that Uma'onaso b'tzion, so that Hashem's dwelling can be built in Sion. We continue with Pasuk 4, Dalid. Shama Shibar Rishfei Kashas Magain V'cherev U'milchama Sela. There in Yerushalayim, the weapons of the enemy will be broken down. Another way of looking at this is that in Yerushalayim, after Milchemes Gog u'Magog, those arrows and the shields and the swords will not be necessary anymore. There will be no need for weapons. As the famous Pasuk in Yeshayahu that is full of hope and expectation reminds us in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalid, V'shafat bein hagayim v'hochiach la'amim rabim, Hashem will judge amongst the nations and bring arbitration to many nations. V'chitetu charvosam le'itim v'chanisoseihim l'mazmeros, and the swords will be turned into plowshares and spears into pruners. Why? Because there will be no need for weapons at that time. Lo yisagoy el goy cherev v'lo yilmadu od milchama, as the famous pasuk, the end of this pasuk tells us, because there will be no more need for weapons, because there will be no more war when the end of Gog u'Magog occurs and Mashiach arrives. As a side note, this pasuk is written in past tense, which is why it can be attributed to past events, as we have stated in the beginning. Shama Shibar Rishpei Kashas Magen V'cherev U'Milchama Sela. There he broke. However, generally, many prophetic words throughout Tanakh are also written in past tense, even though they are prophecies about the future. And the reason for this is that we believe with so much certainty in the prophecy that it is so clear to us that it will happen, that the prophecy is written in past tense as if it has already occurred. We continue with Pasuk Hey 5, Na'ara ta adir miharare taref. You, Hashem, will be more radiant, Na'ar, from the Lashon of Or, light, and powerful than the mountains of prey. In the future, when all will recognize God's greatness, Hashem's name will be more radiant and shining than any of our past enemies. Sfarno explains that Asaf is referring to the fact he is speaking to the mountain itself, to Har Tzion. You, Har Tzion, will be radiant, and that radiance will reflect off the face of Melech HaMashiach. And the mountain, that mountain that will house the third temple, will be more mighty than any tactics that the enemy may try to use. Pasuk Vav 6. God's might knows no bounds, and when the time is right, esh tolalu abire lev namu shnasam, the strong will be rendered powerless and without any clear thought or ideas. We can interpret the word esh tolalu from the word shalol, spoils, that the enemies will become spoils of war to the Jewish people in their defeat, because namu shnasam, they will sleep in a stupor, not being able to rouse and think cogently to even attempt a strategy, so much so that v'lo matzu kol anshei chayil yedehem, all of these strong armies and soldiers will lose their hands, meaning that they will lose all of their strength and ability. Pasuk Zion 7, Miga arascha Elokei Yaakov nirdam v'rechev v'sus. From your rebuke, Hashem, horses and chariots, the great armies, will be stunned, or they will be in such a deep stupor that they will be rendered powerless. If we are talking about events in the past, this may have related to the fall of Sancheirib's army, when the entire army fell into a deep sleep and stupor and were killed at night while sleeping with no ability to defend themselves. Pasuk Ches, Ata Nora Ata, Umi Amod Lefanacha Me'azapecha. God, you instill awe. Who can stand before you when the strength of your fury is unleashed? 9, Hishmata Din Eretz Yirah V'Shakata. You make known your judgments. The land trembles and then settles down and becomes calm. This may be referring to the ultimate judgment day. The world will tremble and will be still with trepidation when they realize that they are being judged. Alternatively or simultaneously, because the words are multidimensional, the world will tremble at judgment that is meted out, and then the enemies themselves will be quiet. They will not raise their voices or weapons against us. All will be still. Vishakata. There will be no terrorist activity. There will be no shooting. There will be no cries, death to Israel. Vishakata. And when will everything be still? Pasuk 10. Bikum la mishpat Elokim la hoshia kol anve eretz selah. When God arises in judgment in order to save all the humble ones in the land, namely Klal Yisrael. The Me'am Loes points out that aside from bringing protection and bringing success and victory to his people, God is omnipotent, so that anyone who does perish in war, we should not look at it simply as collateral damage. We believe, Bakum la Mishpat, that everybody gets what is divinely orchestrated and what he deserves. Some of the people from other nations, as well as our nation, lo aleinu, may perish, and some from our nation and from other nations will be spared, not because of happenstance, but because Hashem renders perfect justice. Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, Ki Chamas Adam Todecha. The rage of man will submit to you or pay homage to you. She'eris Chemos Tachgor. And any remnant of that rage, you will gird yourself, Hashem, with that rage, meaning the rage of the enemies will be powerless and that this will be the last war. Pasuk Yud Beis. Nidru v'shalmu l'Hashem Elokeichem kol sabivav. Therefore, since we know this will happen and we know that Mashiach will come, there will be no more need for war. After Milchemes Gog u'Magog, the Meshorer may be speaking to people around him, to the audience. He's speaking to me and to you, or as the Radak contends, he is speaking to the nations of the world. We know this is going to happen. You will be rendered powerless. Now is the time to make vows and fulfill them to Hashem. All of you, whether it's Klal Yisrael, whether it's the nations around us, make those vows, fulfill them. Bring those pledges. Yovilu Shai Lamora. Bring those pledges to Hashem, who is referred to here as Mora with an Aleph, to the God who is feared. Yivtsar Ruach Nigidim Nora Lamalche Aretz. God will subdue the spirit of the once mighty ones and instill fear, and maybe more accurately, reverence to all of the kings and leaders of the land. This is a description of one facet that will occur in the future. And as we have said, this mizmor could be speaking about other times in history when we have experienced salvation. And we look back at past salvations and draw hope and inspiration that we will experience another salvation. We look to the final redemption, where there will be no more need for war and weapons, and all will acknowledge God, both in thought and action. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bas Chaim Leib.